I try not to pay too much attention to quotes and stuff, because you really never know what someone meant and what they were trying to say or whether they meant what they said. And what helped me was Robert did come in. I didn't ask him to. He came in and talked to me on Monday about it and tried to clear it up with me and tried to explain to me what he meant to say and what he was meaning. And once I heard him and talked to him, you know, I was fine with it. I didn't take anything personally, and it made sense to me what he told me, and I had no problems with it.
And that's the voice of Kyle Shanahan. We have heard a lot of voices, and many of them talking very little about football. Rob Woodfork here with you alongside George Wallace. And this podcast got a lot prettier, folks. Megan Clougherty is here with us. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
We had to do something. The team's 3-7. We're getting, you know.
I know. We got to shake it up.
Spice this place up a little bit.
Maybe Megan should play on Sunday.
Yeah, she should.
Or Monday. Monday. I don't even know what day they're playing. That's how.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, I know. They'll probably show up on Sunday, too.
Probably.
Well, the Redskins, of course, playing host to the 49ers on Monday Night Football. And they come in with a lot of consternation. Would that be a good word to use?
That's a school word. That's a big word for you.
Yeah,
that's good.
I have a fancy education. I'm not going to lie. But, George, any way that these guys can sort of push aside all of the drama of the week? Actually, let's address some of that. I mean, you know, RG3 sort of.
Yeah, I mean,
in a sense, throwing some of the coaches under the bus, but they've spent the week trying to sort of clarify that.
Yeah, and if I hear one more time, we or I or, you know, me or I mean, it's just getting ridiculous. And, you know, Santana Moss basically said earlier in the week that he would like leaders to stand up and take blame for things that happen. And after the game, Robert Griffin III said that on that final play, nobody was open. So he threw the ball up for grabs in the end zone. It was intercepted. He then clarified he should have said that he couldn't find anybody. He made a bad throw. He tried to throw it out of the end zone. He didn't do it. Put the blame on himself. Santana Moss would like to see that more. He clarified the comments on Wednesday, saying that he was talking generally as leaders. He would like to see them say that. I think he was still talking to Griffin.
Right.
Of course.
I mean, he was talking to Robert. Let's be honest. Robert Griffin III. So. Yep. Griffin then realized that he should take some more time after games before he says things. He did say, when he mentioned that Philly knew exactly what was coming, he said he tried to give props to Philadelphia and be honest with us, but then it comes out as if he's saying that he's throwing the coaches under the bus, which I think he was throwing his offensive coordinator under the bus. So, everybody needs to learn. Griffin is 23 years old. He is a leader. There's no question he's a leader in that locker room. The players feel that. The locker room is not divided. Let's get that out of the way. The locker room's not divided.
Right.
They're blaming the media for everything, but they're not divided.
So, they're basically one unified front against you guys.
We try to make stories that aren't there. We try to do this and do this, which is just completely absurd. You're 3-7, okay?
There's a reason you're losing.
3-7. You should not worry about what the media is saying. Should not, you know, not throw everybody under the bus. Go play football.
Well, isn't there part of you, though, that is kind of happy that he's not giving the canned responses that, you know, the veterans know to give? In the end of the day, he's got to go out there and work. I mean, it's kind of nice and refreshing. Yeah.
In the National Football League.
I mean, obviously, he's going to learn very quickly, and he's learning now to sort of think before he speaks.
Well, but that's the thing. And he said it. He said, I'm trying to be honest. He's trying not to give you a Tom Brady or a Bill Belichick.
Right.
And he's in a no-win situation right now.
You know
now.
Who else is trying to be honest here in Washington?
Who's that?
Jim Zorn.
Love Jim Zorn. I miss Jim Zorn.
Yeah.
He was great for us.
But he gave a lot of stuff.
He did.
Probably a little bit too much.
He's not coaching anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But who knows? Can they put this behind them? You know, are they going to go out and play hard? Sure. But San Francisco's a tough team coming in. I mean, their defense gets after it. I mean, Griffin could spend a lot of the game on his back. Who knows?
Right. But, and they don't have the gaudy record like they had a couple of years ago. But
they're coming off a tough loss against the Saints.
Tough loss against the Saints, a game that they probably should have won.
Right.
They've lost two in a row. They've got a lot of local guys on the team, by the way. I don't know how much that really plays into the game, but I mean, they have some key players that are actually from here and are probably going to want to show off in front of their families.
Vernon Davis to be one.
I'm thinking about the head game of the Redskins because they just lost two games that they were supposed to win. And now they're going into a game where no one really thinks they're going to win. So, you know, obviously you get psyched up for that and you want to prove everybody wrong. But, I mean, in the headspace, are they kind of thinking, no one's expecting us to win and we're not doing so hot?
And those are the kinds of games that they tend to win. Those are the games they tend
to Yeah, they rally.
Over the course of the last maybe dozen years or so, it seems.
And then they come out and say, nobody gave us a chance to win. Look what we did.
And then what do they do? They go up against a one-win team or a winless team and then they lose.
I mean, I think that the blown lead against the Vikings, that was the end of it for me. Like, that was their end of their season, that second half against Minnesota.
That was disheartening, but that wasn't the end of it for me. The Eagles game was the end of it for
me. Okay, because you figure they still should have come back and beat the Eagles. And they came out and laid an egg in the first half, which is inexcusable.
Right.
And I don't understand how.
I don't understand how they're 3-7. I mean, they have so many things in their favor, and I think we touched on this a little bit
before.
We did.
This rushing offense is a championship-caliber rushing offense.
They have a championship-caliber offense. They are way healthier than they were this time last year. Mm-hmm. And special teams is mind-numbingly and just historically awful.
Yes.
I know it's like bad to think about, but we've been so lucky in the injuries department this year, and we really haven't had that many problems. What do you guys think about the defense versus the secondary? It seemed like initially the secondary was the main problem, and now the focus is on the defense in the last two games.
Right, it is, and it's we're looking at some of the numbers today, and I don't have them exact, but some of the field positions that the defense has been put in, I'm not going to fully blame them for everything.
Right,
because they have been put in some tough spots.
Yes,
and they have held their own in some, but they're below average. I mean, they're below average defense.
Oh, no
doubt.
That's
fine. And that's a situation. That's something that just has continued to get worse year after year. Special teams, you can't explain it. You lost one guy last year, Lorenzo Alexander.
Right.
That's it. I mean, come on.
He's a pretty important guy, but
I get
for special teams, it shouldn't be that big a deal.
I mean, they're 30, 31, 32. That's the rankings for everything in the special teams right now. I mean, that's just awful.
Yeah. Who's the leader of the special teams right now?
Reed Dowdy's a captain.
Well, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a problem there.
No.
No,
it's the coach.
They don't like
the coach.
Mm.
Yeah. They're not playing for the coach.
Wow. So there's going to be a change there in the offseason.
Oh, I mean,
probably.
I would think, but I don't, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason? We had plenty of time. This team needs to win. My thing was, and we went over this last week, 5-11, 6-10, nothing is safe. Like, all hands, anything's up for grabs.
Right.
7-9, I think for sure you get the same. You get the same head coach back with maybe some tweaks in the staff, but you figure you finish the year 4-2. That's what would mean for 7-9.
Right.
But 5-11, 6-10, anything happens.
All bets are off.
And I guess I shouldn't have said anything about injuries because we're coming off of Hankerson being injured, which now means the resurgence of Josh Morgan, which is, I mean, as fans, you knew that neither one of them have been performing last season they weren't performing that well. And now,
but Morgan, though, the thing that kills me is like Morgan led the team in receptions last year. He was number one guy because Pierre was hurt most of the year.
Right.
And Fred Davis, until he got hurt, was one of Griffin's top targets while Pierre was out. Mm-hmm. And now you tell me these two guys can't sniff the field. Right. Once you get into coach's doghouse.
Oh, right. They've both been iced this year. But now all of a sudden they have to come back and be in synergy with RG3, which obviously isn't going to happen. I mean,
but
how could
thing,
it?
The one thing they are going to do is, and I think the reason they're going to play hard is because they're putting stuff on film.
Right.
Absolutely.
Tape. I mean, for everybody else.
Right.
So that's one of the, that's their incentive.
Yeah. And this would be Morgan's third team, assuming he's going to be gone in the offseason.
Right.
Any chance they beat the 49ers?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, and I've been Mrs. Optimistic the whole flipping season.
Yeah, wow. I mean, this of course is a chance. Like you said, this is the game they come out, they get mad, they win. Okay, fine. And it is a Monday night. It's cold. They are coming east. Mm-hmm. The Niners. Okay, that has something to do with it.
Right.
Maybe historically.
Historically.
But I just don't see this team putting together 60 minutes of football. I just don't.
I think that they'll have a better showing than we expect because
I agree with that.
You're, as a Redskins fan, you're used to your hopes being raised and then all of a sudden dashed. So I think that's still going to happen.
Right.
But I just, even if they do win, I think everybody kind of knows it doesn't really matter.
I think I think you're right. Ultimately, it doesn't matter because, like I said, losing the Philly game, that's it. That's kaput. You're 0-3 in division, 1-6 in conference. Even if they win this game, that would make them, 2-6 then?
Yeah.
So, I mean, best case scenario, you break even in the two most crucial tiebreakers. And we know the best case scenario is not a very realistic one.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't think here's the deal. San Francisco's defense pretty good. The offense struggling a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think this is a game that the Niners will control.
Yeah.
Maybe a 10-point, 11, 12-point game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a blowout. But
I agree. I think they'll play them tight.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, and lower scoring than I think most would think. I'm thinking like a 20-17 sort of thing.
Mm. You think it's that close?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to be that close all the way. It'll probably be 20-10 for three quarters
garbage
of the game.
Touchdown.
And then they get a garbage touchdown.
That's fine.
Get your hopes up. And then RG3 just, inexplicably throws a ball to an opponent.
That doesn't happen.
No. I've never seen that.
I'm going like 27. 16. I'm gonna give you odds 16. Somehow they're gonna get to 16.
I did that. Like
anything can happen in this team. I don't even know how to
Sound like a man who has Kai Forbath on his fantasy team.
No.
I don't even know what to predict, guys. I really don't. Because I just feel like it's not going to be step in step, you know?
Well, if you want to come back on this podcast, you have to predict something.
All right. I think that they will. I think San Francisco will take a run early. And I think maybe the Redskins will catch up. But I think it's like what Rob said. They'll get close, but they're going to wait until the fourth quarter to do it. And then everything will collapse on itself. And we'll be back here talking about it.
Oh, yeah. We will be back here talking about it. Give me a score, though. I need a score from you.
20 to 10.
Okay. A great way to be a serial contributor to this podcast is to just agree with me. So already you are.
And come in with a score in mind. I'll think about that next time.
Yeah. Just blurt numbers out there. That's what George does.
She tried to get out. No, I thought about this one for a while.
You thought about this
one? I think about the scores.
You do?
I don't spend all day thinking about it, but I mean, I put some thought into it.
And that's why you, sir, are our Redskins beat reporter.
We've been somewhat close.
Yeah, we have.
All year. Yeah.
There was actually one where you got it within like 1 point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I give you full credit for that.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Watch my score be the score.
It probably will be.
So we're going to talk about this on Tuesday, right?
We will talk about this on Tuesday. Don't forget to check out the NFL recap every Tuesday on WTOP.com. I am Rob Woodfork. George Wallace is here. And thank you, Megan. Thank you for coming.
Megan, thanks for coming.
Hey, no problem.
Will you be back?
Sure. Yeah. Right, with the score next time.
There you go.
She just pinky swore me. Yeah. You guys didn't see it, but it happened. Talk to you guys on Tuesday.